Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
I did the podcast with Stefan. Survivor specialist Phil and Alexa are back. Phil was completely taken off guard. And I'm sobbing. She didn't even give me a second to mourn. My God. Alexa's over here, like, rubbing it in, and I'm over here sobbing, you know. I just – it's like, oh, my God. I'm so sad right now.
I've had 3 hours to digest my sadness, and now all I'm going to do is gloat because I have been wrong about literally everything for the first 3 hours that we've watched of Survivor Ghost Island. And I knew that I put in the power rankings, he was down at the bottom. I didn't put Brendan as my winner pick. So, ha.
I'm destroyed. How can I get to the live chat? I want to watch people rip on me. Beat me while I'm sad. Where's the live chat? For some reason, I can't get to the YouTube page. It's being really
dumb. Go to Creator Studio and then hit like live hangout.
No, like for some reason, YouTube, every time I go to click that, it just keeps on sending me to something stupid. Hang on, let me see. I'll just do the link that Alexa so nicely.
Well, anyways, while Phil is on YouTube,
I found it. All right, I found it.
We are devastated that Brendan is gone. This, like, the editing on this episode was great. This tribal council was so good. It was a great play by Bradley. A great, so close play, so close, great play by Michael. It was a crazy tribal council. Even though we knew it was going to come, we had to bring this up. We knew it was going to come because in the preview, we saw Stephanie doing her hope thing, and that didn't happen before the immunity challenge. And it boggles my mind that they keep doing this.
Well, and that's why I have my finger up there. So anybody who's watching, I wasn't just putting my finger up to point my finger at Alexa. She said that this was great editing. The end of this episode was great. But the biggest problem here is that we have this epic challenge where Naviti comes back from the dead. And, like, they come all the way back. They storm all the way back into this challenge, come up with the win. And there's literally no drama to it if you watched what happened in the whole hour of last week's Survivor.
And that was a drama-filled immunity challenge.
There was so much drama. And I mean, think about it. You just had Brendan go home, who was clearly being shown as more of the hero while Bradley's being shown as the villain. And he goes home because of a challenge that they were about to win, and Brendan knocked one off, and he was still doing okay, and him and Seb just couldn't get that last ball to land. And you have this epic comeback that literally means nothing. And it's not like we had to go and research this. We didn't have to watch every preview, read every article, look at all the press photos. This is literally in the next time on Survivor, Stephanie sitting there saying, hope, whatever, and Michael's with the idol. That was in the next time on Survivor. To not even show that tribe before the tribal, they didn't really show the exact scene of Stephanie writing hope in the sand in tonight's episode. They do that sometimes, where they don't show the exact scene they showed in the next time on. But to not even show that tribe, we knew there was going to be something.
The tribe wasn't even – for the first half an hour, we didn't even see them. The first two scenes, they were on Naviti Beach. And the thing is, like, I understand that we are super fans. And I understand that a lot of people who listen to us are super fans who read into the edit. Like, I'm sure there are a ton of Survivor fans who don't even know what the edit is, like what the phrase "the edit" means. But you don't have to be a super fan to just put two and two together on that. So they're – I don't know why they do it. There's – 3 days worth of content that they put into 1 hour, and all they have to do is take one scene from any other conversation that they have. I'm sure there were hours worth of conversations that they could have put in there, but they couldn't even stick it in the first 10 minutes. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. And they, even at the beginning, they were like, oh, look at all these like new Naviti relationships, all this new stuff. But it didn't even matter because I just knew they weren't going to go to tribal council.
And I was fine with them not going to tribal, but we just needed at least a little something. It didn't need to be anything big. It just had to be enough that I could sit down and say, you know what? Like, maybe they don't lose this challenge. Because when they were up by that much, I'm like, how are they going to lose this? And that last part of the challenge, I think that's a great addition that Survivor's added. It worked really well in I think it was it Ko-Rong or was it Money Over Gen X? Whichever one it was really good there, and it's really good in this. It's better than a puzzle. It's more visual. And it's really hard, and it allows for comebacks, but it's not like in a, oh, you didn't figure out metamorphosis yet. Like it's kind of crazy how that works. So I was a fan of this challenge. I just wish I didn't know that Malolo was going to lose. And I also wish that I wasn't so sold that the Malolo 4 were going to overcome the Naviti 5.
You were really convinced of that.
I was so convinced. And you know what? I look at what Bradley did tonight, and I am shocked we haven't gotten screen time from him, because
Must have done something so bad to the producers that they didn't want
to kick someone in the balls or something.
They absolutely had to. Because even tonight, you still had to think about it for a minute to realize that, like, Bradley made a good move. Because even when Michael's handing over the idol, he pulls a Joe and he's like, I'm going to play this for Brendan, looks at reactions, and then says, no, I'm going to give it to Stephanie. They switched it on us because Bradley was stone cold when they said Brendan. And he was like, oh no, when he said Stephanie, even though of course they still voted for Brendan. So they really, really don't want to give him credit for this.
No, this was a real, I think this is a, I hear what you're saying, but this is a really good move from Bradley. And for Bradley,
I agree. It's great. No, I'm just surprised they're not giving it to him.
No, here's the positive that the editors gave him. he compared himself to Boston Rob and Kim, said that he wanted to play that type of game, and then he actually pulled it off. And that's something to be said. They hold Boston Rob in such high esteem that to sit there and have him say, I'm going to, like, they were setting him up to look like a fool. They really were. They had him saying that. They had him, talking about how there's no way he's going to go home. And then they set him up where this guy pulls out an idol and Bradley's like, oh my God, I'm going to go home for this. They set him up to look like a fool, but it still worked because he still hung with it and said, guys, just keep going.
So I think you are right about that, because he was like, we're going to stonewall them. And I was like, well, that never works. And that worked out. But after, I'm glad you brought up the Boston Rob and Kim reference, because not 10 minutes later, he said, the leaders never win. So I felt like they purposely put that there to be like, oh, look, Bradley, you're going to talk about how you're going to be this like big, strong leader, but then you literally just contradicted yourself. So there's like, they did a weird job with him, but he did a great job. And I think two people who are not going to get any credit, but I have to give them credit, are Chelsea and Dez, because Chelsea is the one who came up with Michael, and then Dez is the one who came up with Brendan to put their names down, because of this trend that we're seeing of, let's get rid of insert random girl here because she won't have the idol. Now they're reversing that and saying, let's get rid of the big strong guys. So the three of them, I guess that like more goes to Dez because they ended up going with Brendan. That was just a great job on all their parts. They stuck together, which doesn't really happen in Modern Survivor anymore. People want to splinter off. So good for that whole tribe. They stonewalled the Malolos.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that another person who deserves a lot of credit here is Seb, for seeing that he's going to be this big, strong guy. What the biggest problem here was, Michael made a fantastic move here. And I think it's going to be undervalued because it didn't
work. I'm so sad it didn't work because that was such a good move.
And honestly, I thought Michael was great tonight, and I thought he was going to go home tonight on like a night where I'm like, I finally come around on the kid, and he goes home. Honestly, it's Brendan, so I had to root for Michael to go home. But come on, this was the spot I put Michael in my bootless game. Like, this would have just been a perfect, like, guys, I told you so. And instead, Brendan goes home, and I look like a fool. So thanks. But what I was going to say is Michael's pitch here of this is worth two is so believable.
Of course. It's so believable. Great.
Bradley's face was just like, and you heard the nervousness in Bradley's voice after that. He was like, well, I certainly didn't expect this to happen. Yeah. You know, and Kellen started getting the panicky. You can tell Kellen's the one who's just going to talk until she feels like her nerves are out of her. Whereas Bradley was just like, oh crap. You could see like all the blood rush from his head and right in the pit in his stomach. You could see it all happen. It's a great story. And he made a great play when he went up and said, you know, this is for me and for Brendan. The biggest problem was he didn't actually wait for the reaction. He didn't wait enough for the reaction because, like, Bradley was looking over. He was too quick in it, it felt like. Maybe it was edited that way, but it felt super quick.
I feel like it might have been edited that way, but you're right. It could have been that quick because, I mean, I don't know how long it took Joe. Because I think I asked Joe when we had him on, and he was like, it was a couple seconds. Like, I feel like that's a thing that just happened so in the moment. But oh, that play was so good. And one, I had actually texted you this earlier. Survivor tweeted out yesterday, like a picture of Michael. And it said something along the lines of like, does Michael's idol that he found on Ghost Island, like, is he going to save people? Cause he has the power to save two. And I texted that to you. And I was like, how many interns are getting fired over this? Cause this is wrong five different ways. And they were wrong about the Ghost Island part. But I loved that. Like, he didn't even like have a confessional saying this is fake. Like, he just rolled with it. So even watching it, I was like, wait, can he do that? Because I would buy that. I think that makes total sense because everyone knows James's idols. We've talked about this. They're so obvious and so iconic that I would have bought it too. And good on that five for just rolling through it. And I think a lot of the reason is because they said, we're voting Bradley. So for what reason do Chelsea and Sebastian have to leave? Because it's not like they said, well, I'm voting Chelsea. Like, why would Chelsea go? She's not going home. So that was the only thing that they missed.
He made a great play here, but the only way he could have saved Brendan or himself or Stephanie is by saying, we're so mad at you guys, we're actually going to vote for one of you. Like, if he would have said, Seb, we are voting for you because you're not going to play this game to win. And you know what? if we play the idle right, we want you to go home. Or Chelsea, we're going to get you to go home. We're not going to take out Bradley because you're all following him like sheep. Let's let him keep going in this game so you can realize your mistake. That's the kind of move they had to make. Now, granted, that's harder to pull off. But the biggest problem with this move is, oh, you have two? Well, the only person who's in danger here is Bradley. It's like going to rocks when you have an immunity idol around your neck. You don't care. You know, Adam Klein has no reason to switch his vote in Millennials versus Gen X because he has immunity. Who cares? Or he didn't have immunity. He ended up actually doing it. I forget who had immunity, but whoever it was, they didn't have a reason to change their vote because they had immunity. That's exactly what they did. They said there. They said the four of you actually don't have a reason to change your vote because the worst case scenario is we get rid of somebody who you guys might not necessarily get along with or whatever. We're getting rid of the leader. Well, there goes Bradley. What do any of them have to lose? They have nothing to lose. So this was actually it was a great move that had one humongous flaw that ultimately led to Brennan going home.
Mm-hmm. And I want to hear, I'm excited to read the exit interviews with Brennan because this was a really great move. And I want to hear like how they came up with it. Like, I don't know if Michael must have told them that he was going to do this like double immunity thing. And that is just, for lack of a better word, that is just ballsy of them to stay on that. Like, especially because we had a live tribal in episode one. I was expecting like someone to stand up and start talking, but they stuck to their guns and they deserve all the credit for that.
Yeah, and I got to be honest, so far, I mean, I really think the season's killing it. And I'm sure that every Survivor hater who for some reason still watches the show is probably hating it really hard. I'm loving this. I mean, I just lost Brendan tonight. I mean, I lost Brendan. That's how I feel, you know? I feel
emotionally. Like he's dead.
Yeah, part of my heart. I mean, Brendan and Morgan go back to back. I loved both of them. I loved both of them.
This pre-merge trip is going to be awesome.
Oh my God, I want to go hang out with all of them. I mean, who knows like how much fun that is. But what I'm saying is if the rest of this cast can keep this up and they can actually continue to bring it like they're bringing it, this is going to be a phenomenal ride because what we just saw tonight, in the last 2 weeks, we lost two favorites, but they were the exact right move. I mean, not only did they get rid of Brendan, Bradley got rid of Brendan tonight by staying so firm on it and saying, no, let's get rid of the strong guy. And he's sitting there saying, I'm babysitting them. It's not going to get the three Malolo votes at the end, but it's the right move right now. I mean, it really is. And if he plays just that dominating of a game, they might say we're going to vote for him at the end anyway. But this is the right move to get rid of Brendan. It was the right move last week to get rid of Morgan. I mean, these guys are playing crazy, crazy game. It feels like the Micronesia pre-merge.
Well, that's what I was going to say when you said it might not get him those three jury votes at the end. This is kind of what happened with Ryan. I'm not meaning to compare Ryan and Bradley's games, but more of just Ryan came out so hot and did so well in the pre-merge, but kind of fizzled out in the post-merge. So the thing is, Bradley right now doesn't really need to make – it doesn't matter if he pisses off Brendan when he votes him off. It's because Brendan's not going to be voting for him at the end. So there isn't too much concern there. I'm with you. I'm loving this season so far, especially because we are getting this really cool dynamic where on the Malolo tribe, the Navidis are running the show. And on Navidi, the Malolos are running the show because everyone's running up to them and they're like, no, like pick me. I have an idol. I have a legacy advantage, which Dom has now just thrown all of his cards all over the table. They're all doing it. Like Chris is trying to work with them. I really like how they're working out differently. And our pre-merge cast assessments, preseason cast assessments, those have been so different too. Like Laurel, I was so impressed with tonight. Like Laurel crushed it in the reward challenge. Libby has been doing super well. Michael, I mean, you just said that.
You were so hard on Michael.
A lot of these people, like Donathan, we had more quiet episode with him. Like Chris, I'm going out on a limb. I think Chris is kind of misunderstood. I'm not too bothered by him. I think this episode,
Alexis, you're thinking about the middle school makeout. Let's be honest.
I love Latinas and Latinas love me, even though I'm not Latina.
Exactly. But you're starting, you got the hair going.
I lived in Miami for 4 years. Thing going on. Yeah. But I think this season is so good, and I don't think it's going to let up. I know you're unsure of whether or not it will. I don't think it's going to let up because this is a season with I think they're really running with Ghost Island, and we got to talk about Callum on Ghost Island because that was awesome. And she had a great episode too, and that worked out for her. She was like, I got to trust my gut. Had this whole thing about restructuring her life because her gut told her so. And guess what? Her gut worked out because if she didn't have a vote in this, if she didn't have a vote in this tribal council, Brandon would probably still be here.
Because it would have been a tie.
Yeah, probably would have been a tie.
And that's the biggest thing here is if they could have gotten this to 4-4, then their pitch is great. Saying we're gonna vote out one of you. We're not gonna tell you who the votes are going to. And it's gonna be 4-4, and we're gonna play the idol. And either we're gonna keep it tied and you're gonna go to rocks, or we're gonna play the idol correctly, and that's gonna work. The 5-4 thing killed them. The fact that that Kellen went to Ghost Island before.
Yeah, first time.
Tribal Council killed them because she came back in time and was able. Really, it seems like her and Bradley and who's the other one? I'm drawing a complete blank. Doesn't matter. Her and Bradley. And Dez. It seems like the three of them were like never going to waver. And it was funny how the pitch went to Sebastian and it went to Chelsea. And, like, I feel like this is setting up – maybe it's not setting anything up because I also thought that Malolo was being set up to overcome this. But Sebastian is fun. I'm loving
him.
And I could definitely see Sebastian being the type of guy who just flips around because, you know what, that's what's best for Sebastian at this time. Also, you got to remember, Sebastian's best bud is still alive on the other tribe. I don't know how.
He's the only one who hasn't been to tribal council.
Chris is the only one who has not been to tribal council, which is crazy. I still think that this is a guy who probably goes to his first tribal and goes home because it does seem like said he's misunderstood, but it seems like Dominic is more well-liked. It seems like Laurel would rather play with Dominic. And Laurel's really surprised me. I like Laurel a lot more than I thought it was going to. Really, I'm like really digging this cast. It's brutal that, you know, we're losing people in crazy ways. Like we lost Morgan in a non-traditional boot and we just lost Brendan in a very non-traditional boot. I mean, normally you can safely say Stephanie Johnson goes home tonight or Jenna goes home tonight. I thought it would have gone to Jenna. I thought they would have said, you know what? We're scared that Brendan and Michael have an idol. Let's vote out Jenna. That's where I had Jenna super low in my power rankings. That's just what I assumed.
Well, first of all, I'm glad you brought up Sebastian because I remember they put him on and I was like, okay, Aussie fishing, cute, surfer boy, whatever. But he's funny. I mean, he said – where did I put it in my notes? He said, I've been writing down all the quotes and I might
come. That was a hashtag.
Oh, the Malolo. So he said that. I think I'm going to write like a haiku of all of his fun quotes. Mm-hmm. It was something about penguins in the rainforest or something. Anyways.
Yes, penguins on a tropical island.
That was it. Penguins on a tropical island. I don't know where the rainforest came from. But the thing is, like, you and I, we've been putting Jenna super low because we haven't heard from her. But she and Stephanie are like wicked tight. I mean, they were sobbing when Michael said he had an idol. Like, that was freaking awesome. Chelsea, we're like, she's going to go home. She's going to go home. Angela, she's going to go home. She's going to go home. But these people who we're getting really good edits from, I mean, Morgan's was very short-lived, but Brendan, I mean, he was getting this big-time leader edit, and the editors wanted us to like him. I forgot to mention this after the premiere episode, but when Gonzalez was walking out, she didn't just say sad. She said one lion and seven sheep, sad. So they cut out her saying something negative about Brendan. So that made me think that Brendan was going to go far. But all these people who we think are going to have these long-term storylines, they've been getting cut loose. And Chelsea could freaking make the merge for all we know.
This could be one of those seasons where, like, this is what finally puts them over the top to do, like, all pre-mergers or something where it's like, we have Morgan, we have Brendan, we have Gonzalez, who was fun. We even have Jacob. I mean, those are your first four boots.
Yeah.
Those are your first four boots. Like, let's just do the season over and get a different outcome. I mean, this has been a really solid first four episodes. And, you know, I wish that this reward challenge was – I like this reward challenge. It takes up time.
Oh, I love this challenge.
But it's a fun challenge. And – I mean, really, Laurel dominated in this challenge. I liked how after they just gored Chris to the ground, probably hoping to break his leg or something. But, you know,
it was
they
like
just
a double entendre, yeah.
But that was even in that challenge. Chris was very positive when they were doing stuff. Like, there was no negativity to him. It wasn't the, come on, what are you doing? It was very positive. He was running down to Laurel to give her the hug. Like, he was very into it and very positive. And I actually think that tribe is, like, starting to get along a little bit better. And that gets scary because what if they go on a run? I mean – you know, they do have, I mean, James hasn't been the best, but they have Laurel and they have Chris, who right now are probably the strongest male and the strongest female in this game in terms of just physical strength. I would say that it's probably those two. I mean, Michael was good tonight. Brendan was fine, but Brendan's gone. And then you have, I mean, in terms of like James, he doesn't really do too much, but I just think that with Chris and with Laurel, if you have to do these male versus female things like we saw tonight, Chris and Laurel dominated. They got the 3 points. And if that continues to be a theme, they're going to win a lot of challenges. And even tonight when Chris was trying to pull the track and nobody was helping him, he was like, guys, I cannot pull this. Guys,
oh, my God, I watched that. I was like, are you guys going to freaking stare at him? I was like, come on, everybody.
But it wasn't shown negatively, which was interesting.
I think that's my thing on Chris. It's kind of hard for me to put to words, so it'd probably be smarter for me to like write it all down. I know that they still don't like Chris because I think it was like Donathan was talking to Wendell, Dominic was talking to Laurel, and then Donathan and Laurel walked out and they were like, yeah, we totally prefer Wendell over Chris. Like, this isn't even a conversation. Mm-hmm. I think, and I said this in our previous recap also, I do not think he was born with the gift of tact. I think he's trying to be a leader, and I think he's trying to mean well. And like you said, he's being extremely supportive. He's putting himself out there. But I don't think he realizes that he's coming off as extremely arrogant when, yes, he's probably extremely confident because he's a model, but I don't think it's an arrogance thing. Like, Chris and Bradley are two very different people.
If we're going to compare
arrogance, like, they're night and day. And also, like, Chris had his, like, I like you, I like you, I like you, I like me. Like, I thought that was kind of funny. Like, I understand how people would think that's him being like, oh, I think I'm so great. But he was being funny with that. And with Angela, he came back to her with open arms. Like, and she was going to dump him. And she was like, all my friends tried to kill me. I'm feeling awful for Angela. I feel so bad for her.
Yeah.
There was a secret scene that I saw that she was just like, I just lost so many friends through my divorce. And now all my friends in the island want to vote me out. Like, I'm so alone. But he was there for her. Like, I really think it's the vessel that Chris's words are coming through is the main issue.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that people just kind of don't take a liking to the way he talks to people. And you're right with the tag thing. And really, I think, like, James seems to have liked Chris there. I mean, he thought that was funny, or maybe that was what they edited. But, I mean, it didn't seem like they were bothered by it all that much.
I thought it was funny.
You know, and then What's funny though is, like, Wendell and Dom think they're done, and really I think Wendell is probably what's going to keep the two of them alive, is because everybody really likes Wendell. And it was funny when Donathan and Laurel were walking together, and it was like, "Do you like Wendell?" "Yeah, I like Wendell. Of course I like Wendell."
Wendell had a great episode for someone who didn't talk.
Yeah, he had one confessional at the beginning, and he was talking. He had that whole thing where they were sitting down, him and Dom, and that was a really cool little like conversation they had. I was really digging it. I was really into it, and so I think that tribe. I think it's clear that it's still going to be like the Chris Angela versus the Dom versus Wendell. Mm-hmm. But is that group if they go back to tribal, we saw a lot of them tonight, so I would think they would go back to tribal, but if they go back to tribal, who's actually going to pull it? You know, that's what it comes down to, is it going to be that they all go to Dom, which I'm thinking, are they going to actually vote out Chris? Or are they going to vote out Angela? Are we going to get another Ghost Island thing where somebody goes back before tribal council? I don't know. Now that it's 8, they might send somebody back before the tribal again. I like that they're mixing it up with Ghost Island though, so that people can't plan for it. You can't plan your whole entire game around somebody going to Ghost Island. And I like that.
Yeah, I'm liking that too. And I'm glad you kind of segued into Ghost Island, because I've been reading a lot. People have been saying it's so easy to rid Ghost Island because of those clay pots. And I do agree with that. Like, it's very easy to be like, we don't want this person to get an advantage. We don't want this person, but we want Kellen to have an advantage. But the thing is, it is still Kellen's choice. It is still Jacob's choice to see if they want to get an advantage. And Kellen made the choice not to. Jeff can't just force it. He can't just give her an idol. Like, that's not going to happen. So even though it can be rigged, it's still up to the player. Like, it's Kellen didn't make – she didn't get an advantage, but we still had a great tribal council and a great episode, which kind of stemmed from her not doing that. So I'm really liking Ghost Island. Like you said, I'm glad you're not always immune when you go there. I'm glad that sometimes you have to go in between reward and immunity challenges. I think they're doing a great job with it. I was really, really wary of it, but the more I'm watching it, the more I'm enjoying Ghost Island.
Yeah, and here's my thing. What would you have done in Kellen's situation?
I don't know. So when I first watched it, I was like, you got to shoot your shot. Like, you got to do it. You got to try it. But the thing is, losing a vote, and she kind of said, she's like, it's a 5-4 split. It would make it a tie. Because it was so tight of a split, I would have a hard time doing it. But in the moment, maybe I want an advantage. I don't know.
I'm thinking I probably don't do it, just because if you're looking at the dynamic of this tribe, you know it's 5-4. It's a very cut and dry 5-4. And if you lose your vote, now it's 4-4 and you've lost your advantage. By Jeff sending you early, he's kind of, and I think this might be why they did it, is because they wanted the decision to be based around, if you go to the next tribal, do you want your vote? Whereas the other two, they didn't actually play the game, so they weren't getting the votes, the vote problem. Jacob did, but the other two didn't. So I actually think that that might have been a part of the reason here why they sent her before the tribal council, is to be like, if you want to get rid of your vote, you're looking at a 4-4 tie. Do you have enough faith that you can pull somebody? Mm-hmm. What's your move going to be? And it really worked out because she ended up not taking the advantage. Her vote was super important.
And what was the – well, she didn't even take a chance at the advantage because it's like a 50-50, which is also scary. It was – so the word game changer was in. And what – do you remember what the advantage was?
For this one, they didn't say what it was.
I thought they referenced game changers.
No, I don't think so. They didn't say what the advantage was, I don't think.
All right. Yeah, someone tweet at us or someone comment on it, because I could have sworn that they said something about that, but I think also whenever I hear the word game changer, even out of Survivor context, I'm like, what Survivor? And like, I'm super wrong about that. But I think Kellen had a great episode. Like, I think we get a lot of like happy hero music with her. I saw something funny on Reddit that was like, every time the camera pans to Kellen, everyone's like, well, she's the winner pick. Like, she's totally going to win it. But she had a great episode tonight. Like, she had a personal and strategic confessional. She used her head. Like, it's so, like, if Dominic was on Ghost Island, he would have taken it. And I don't even know. I don't even think it's because the situation was, if you put him in Kellen's situation with a 5-4 advantage, I still think he does it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Because Dominic's playing a different type of game than Kellen. Playing. Yeah. Kellen's whole thing tonight was, I've made huge life changes because I trusted myself. Dominic's whole entire thing is like, I made huge life changes because I went for it. And those are, I mean, they both had great results. It's just different ways of getting to the end result. You know, you have he's the guy who goes for the steal when she's the one who actually plays defense. That's the difference there. And that's what ended up happening here. Kellen was a good person to go there. What do you think somebody like Bradley does? Maybe somebody like Bradley, who has a bit of arrogance, and by a bit of arrogance, I mean tonight, he was super arrogant. He played it up, though, because he had to. He had to make his whole tribe feel super comfortable and make the other four be like, you're screwed. Get out of here. It's worked in the past. The people he referenced, it's worked for. But what would he have done if he was the one who went?
I don't know. I'm tempted to think, because we just saw him make an offensive play, I feel like he would go for it. Also, but the problem is his whole shtick was five votes, five votes, five votes. Like, we are together. And as soon as he takes that away, they have to scramble. They have to either get someone from the other side or they splinter off. So I say he doesn't do it. I say he makes the same move as Kellen.
I don't know, though. The thing with Bradley is 100% playing for himself. Even though he's saying it's the 5-4 thing, Everything he did tonight was to get himself in a better position. And yeah, it almost bit him in the ass. But now that he survived that vote, I think he proved loyalty to them by even though his was the name on the chopping block, he didn't really make the pitch of like, guys, I'll just switch to your side, vote for one of these guys, I'll do it. Like, he didn't even make that pitch. He sat there and took it. And I think that he kind of put himself, when you put a target on your back like that, I think it does build trust from other people in your alliance, because like, wow, he kind of just took one for the team there. And yeah, he put the target on his back long before Tribal Council, but at Tribal Council, he didn't really do much to weasel his way out of it. He just kind of sat there and was like, I just have to put faith in you guys. And it worked.
Yeah. And I think I can say this now 4 episodes in. I'm really excited for Bradley as a villain. Like, I know that like everyone on the internet has decided to hate him because he's cocky and arrogant. But the thing is, like, this is what I want in a villain. Like, I know he's not, I don't know him personally, but like, he's not a bad dude. He's just like playing up this cockiness that he may or may not actually have. He's not making any personal attacks on anybody. Like, Scott and Jason were great villains, but like, you can make the argument that they were like bullying people. Mm-hmm. Bradley's not bullying anyone. He's just being annoying.
He's hilarious. And if you read Morgan's like exit interview with Gordon Holmes, she was like, he just sits there and just like what, I forget exactly the word she used, but it seems like he's just ripping on everything. And yeah, that's going to annoy somebody like Brendan. Yeah, exactly. And that's what he said he was going to do in all his pregame stuff. So
yeah, no one should be surprised by this.
That I'm so excited for that. I'm all about that. Like, keep bringing that. I was so excited too. Like, what I was worried with Bradley was that he wasn't getting much screen time because he was actually coming across as boring in the confessionals. And though he might have good ideas, it might be coming across as like a snoozer. it was not a snoozer at all. I mean, his confidence was hilarious. I'm talking about being a good lawyer. This was going to help him. And his confidence is just, it's funny. Yeah. And I will watch that, you know, every week. So it's nice that they finally have played up a villain on this season other than Chris, because really Chris went from a huge villain to almost like a hero once he got to Ghost Island. You need another villain. You need somebody that we can love to hate. And really what Bradley did tonight is a love to hate move. It's like, look at how arrogant I am. Don't you want to see it get thrown back in my face? But you're going to have fun watching it before it gets thrown back in my face.
That's the whole thing. I'm glad you said that. Like, it's going to get thrown in his face. Like, everyone who is waiting for justice, like, I don't know how the season ends, but it's probably going to come. So enjoy the ride. Like, it's going to be fun because when / if he goes home, everyone, like, it's going to make it that much better.
It's the episode where, like, you sit there and go, yes, come on. They got him. Like, they got him.
Get
they got
this
him.
Guy
you know,
out
they got
here.
Him. It's, you know, Jean Robert going home back in China where he was just
exactly.
so.
Yes.
But the difference here is I think Bradley is a gamer. And, like, Jean Robert thought he was a gamer. Jean Robert was a, you know. He was
his
he
own
was
kind of gamer.
Yeah, he thought he was playing a game. He was really out there just trying to hit on chicks. But but I think, like. Like you have like Bradley who's playing this up. And I think this was like a little bit of a wake up call for him where it's like, oh, I might have to take a step back. Cause that almost just bit me. And I almost walked out of here. And
that's the thing. Like, he's still kind of, even though he won the battle, he's still got like a, oh, wait a second. I actually almost was a couple inches away from going home. Like he's still got a tiny bit of satisfaction on that. And I'm glad, like, kind of like you said, I'm glad we have two villains because Bradley and Chris are two very, very different villains. Mm. Dominic very well could be a villain. Excuse me, villain. There's plenty. I mean, there's still plenty of opportunity, plenty of stories to be developed. But at the same time, they could all go home 1, 2, 3 because that's the way this editing has worked out. And Chelsea's gonna win. You heard it here first.
Yeah, right. Chelsea's gonna win. Hey, Chelsea got a confessional tonight. Officially, nobody with zero confessionals.
Big time confessional. Yeah, exactly.
We made it.
We did it. 4 episodes in.
It was funny. It went Bradley and then Chelsea. Boom, boom. I was like, whoa, oh, easy there, guys.
Oh, well, let's slow down, everyone. This is getting
two new characters are introduced. It's like Nikki and Paolo on Lost. When
oh,
they
my God,
in,
from
like,
Lost.
Season 3.
When
like, whoa, oh, they've been here since day one. Yeah, sure they have.
Needed some extras for this extremely obscure episode of Lost.
Yeah. So I think that at the end, this is the right move, as much as it breaks my heart that Brandon goes home here. And it's the right move. I mean, they got rid of a strong guy. I think Brendan was the leader there. And Bradley's right. The leader never wins. You could have kept Brendan around. And I think Bradley had the whole idea of we'll get rid of him at 5. We'll get rid of him at 6. We'll get rid of him at whatever. We're going to get rid of him at some point. But what's interesting is like they still ended up going that way. Michael could be more dangerous because Michael's still a physical threat. But is Michael somebody who now – is going to build up such an allegiance with these two, with Jenna and Stephanie, and be able to make maybe work his way in with a Seb, work his way in with some of the younger people who are out here. Brendan was one of the oldest people out there. He might not have had as good of a chance, but to get rid of somebody who's viewed as the Terry Dietz of this tribe, it's the right move.
Yeah, he's definitely more of an old school player, so I feel like Michael has more of a chance. And Jenna and Stephanie are so, so tight, way tighter than like we're being led to believe. But yeah, I mean, they could pull Sebastian over. We get a hint of that, but also maybe they won't because we need to stop listening, just stop watching these previews. I don't know, though. They're definitely not in a great position because now they don't have an idol. And was an idol found? Oh, so that was the idol found on the beach. So it actually could get replanted. Naveed, you're going to be looking for it too because now they know that it's back in play.
And if anybody's wondering, they did not reverse the curse. They made it worse.
There are like 17 curses on this square block now.
Yeah, they did not reverse the curse. And for anybody keeping track at home, Julia did better than Adam in the power rankings. So anybody who's keeping track, Adam had Morgan at spot 8. Julia had Brendan at spot 10, which really like the Brendan going home here. It's not because it was like an obvious boot. So good
well,
on
to
Julia,
be fair, really, she probably didn't really know who Brendan was. But we're still going to give it to her.
That's why she did it, yeah. All right, Alexa.
Also, Brendan absolutely destroyed everybody's boot list. So that's kind of all for our fault. I cannot talk tonight. You had him, I think, at like 6, and I had him as my boot list winner. But I saw some people tweet. I just want to put it out there. My official winner pick is Wendell. I'm very upset that Brendan's gone, but my boy Wendell is still in. Hanging by a thread, but he's still in. Just want to put
my,
that up.
My winter pick was Brandon, huh? That's what I went with officially.
Yeah, that was your official winter pick. You hate to see it.
I should have just went with Stephanie Johnson because I was so right on Stephanie Johnson. She's still going to hang around, right? She ain't going
anywhere. She'll still be floating around, but who knows? I hope she's – I don't know. I'm liking this cast. I hope
everyone's going to win. Just Kellen? Hey, I was on the Kellen train. Choo-choo.
You're actually about to get run over by the Kellen train.
You know what? Hey, if I'm going to get run – Brendan just got
and then
run
we
over
also – we had to debate – you know, we had a big debate over the Libby fan club too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, Libby was kind of quiet tonight, so
yeah.
You can have that one. I know
for we should have done that
Johnson
last week. Should have done that last week.
you were all right, ask so me yeah, we have like a lot. We've done this. We've talked about this episode. Do you want to? People have been complaining at us because we don't do comments anymore. Do you want to do comments to kind of brace our way through like the next 20 minutes of this podcast? And do you want to give your speech here so that people understand that it's almost 1 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, I want to put that out there. I'm glad you gave me that spotlight, Phil. So we've been seeing all of your tweets. Like, people have been emailing us about – and, like, I didn't even think that people knew that we had an email address. Like, people have been telling us, read our comments, read our comments, read our comments. We kind of stopped it last season, and we want you to know it's not because we don't care about your comments or we don't, like your comments. Every single podcast – night, I'm going to bed around 2 a.m. and I have to be at work at 7. And I know I love this as much as I love my current job, but when it's 2 a.m, I know, but like some of my coworkers listen, so I need to kind of, you know, even it out. Hi coworkers. But it, you know, when it's 1:30 a.m, I've messed up 5 words tonight. So sometimes I'm just tired and I'm sorry. But we're going to try to start reading them in like last 10, 15 minutes of every episode. And then the thing with the predictions is, as you've seen, we've been trying to get some old survivors on. And we figured that you guys would want to hear from Julia or Adam or whoever else you might have scheduled coming up instead of just us repeating the same question. So we're going to try to read some more comments for you guys. We promise it's not intentional. It's not anything malicious. It's just my dumb sleep schedule. And we'd like talking to old survivors.
Yeah, we'd rather get the survivors. And we have another survivor coming on Sunday. So if you come on this Sunday, if you come on this Sunday, there's going to be another survivor on, and we have them like pretty much split out through whatever the word is scheduled out for like the rest of the season. Like we have like people who have said, yes, we'll do it. So like, we'd rather, we assume that you guys would rather too, like hear from some of the older survivors. What do they think? What's going on here? Like, you know, it's been a couple seasons. Julia's, we had Troyze come on from season 24, but we didn't get him until after Game Changers. Julia was really the oldest first survivor that we had on, which was 32. So like, you haven't heard from these people in like maybe 4 seasons now. Where have they been? What are they doing? What do they think about this season? Did they watch this season? I don't know.
Spoiler, Julia hasn't.
Yeah, Julia did watch the season. I saw some of those comments. Julia was laughing before we went live. She was
it's kind of fun, guys. It's lighthearted. We try to keep it fun.
It was lighthearted. I mean, Adam, you got to go. Here's the thing. We went from Adam to Julia. You have Adam who thinks he knows everything. He has Brendan as his winner pick. What does he know? Okay. You need people like Julia sometimes who come on, just binge watch the first 3 episodes and said, you know what? I have no clue who that guy is. I didn't watch any preseason stuff. I don't know who that is. You need that to offset the Adams who think they know what's going on and they don't.
And that's exactly it. Like I said this earlier, but I know that we're all a bunch of massive super fans, but during the episode, I can't text Phil because I did that last year and I accidentally spoiled the Simone boot for Phil. So I do not contact Phil on Wednesdays until right after he finishes his episode. But one of the main people I talk to is my mom. And my mom watches Survivor. She watches it every single week on time. But she doesn't get the editing thing. She doesn't care about the preseason stuff. Like, you know, she knows people based on the color of their boxers rather than like their names. And her insight is she has insight that I don't get from like scouring the internet for 3 hours after the episode before I go live. So it's good to have these opinions that aren't like hardcore super duper fan, even though we want those. I like that we're kind of slicing it up. Not every single ex survivor, there's like probably 600 of them. Not every single one of them is watching this episode with as much intensity as we are. And I think that gives us a new perspective. And I think it makes a lot more fun.
It does make it more fun, especially when Julia had Brendan lower down than I did, and she had him in a lower down than Adam Klein would have had him. I'm pretty sure. Hey, maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I'm thinking. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. There you go. That's our speech. So keep looking forward to the weekend predictions episodes with former survivors. And we're going to have one this Sunday. So
tune in on Sunday.
Tune in on Sunday.
How about before we go over to comments, you want to do MVP, LVP? Because we always forget.
Yeah, let's do MVP, LVP.
Do you want to go first? Because I have to think about my LVP.
I mean, I think that where did it go? I had it. Oh no, where'd it go? I have it.
You're a mess.
James, Desiree, and Libby didn't do anything. Oh my God. I really thought I was going to have like all six of my people intact hitting
the. Oh, merch. Yeah. You lost a fantasy. So, the way the fantasy game is shaping up, my fantasy team is the one that you won is already won. Spoiler. You guys thought I had the best fantasy team, which automatically jinxed me because I'm going to lose. I have lost two people in Jacob and Gonzalez back to back on the premiere. Phil has lost his first pick and his winner pick, Brendan. He has also lost Morgan, also in back-to-back episodes. Vaughn has Vaughn's got stacked crew. He's got Bradley, Dominic, Stephanie, Michael, Sebastian, Chelsea.
On his tribe? Only Johnson. Maybe
I think Dominic could win. Johnson could win. I mean, Michael could win if he gets there.
Stephanie
would win. He's got Chelsea. I mean, he's going to win.
Yeah, it's true, Chelsea.
You're and right. Then Joe Mana has Chris and Angela, and he's really on to something here.
Yeah, Joe Mana still has his whole tribe intact, and Alexa and I are getting closer. Alexa, you're only up on Joe Mana by 17, so choose your MVP wisely. I will say, I think MVP, and I'll defend Vaughn first, I think it should be Bradley. Mm-hmm. Because I think Bradley made a really ballsy move tonight. It almost bit him in the butt, but it didn't. And he stuck with his guns. It's when Eric Reichenbach said in Caramel, and vote who you were going to vote for. Just vote who you were going to vote, and it worked.
Stick to the plan.
Because that's what you have to do, though. In that type of situation, they're trying to cause mayhem. Just stick with it. That's all you can do. If you go home that way, you went home in a really epic way. You got to do what you got to do. So I think Bradley made the best move. I'm going to go with Kellen, though. Oh. On my
team. So I was going to give you Kellen. Oh.
She's on my team. And I think that by her going there, giving up the advantage so that she can make sure she voted and make sure her tribe had the numbers – knowing that it was going to be 5-4, I think that's a great move, and it shows how tight she is with her original.
Okay, so I was actually going to do Brelin. Whoa, Brelin, don't know what was going on there. I was actually going to do Kellen because I knew you were going to do Bradley, so I was going to try to get a little diversity and hook you up. But I'm still going to hook you up because I want us to have a range of opinions here. I'm going to give it to Dez. And we didn't hear anything from Dez, but she is the one who came up with Brendan, and none of this would have happened. They were probably going to go with Jenna because that is just the way that the game has been working in recent seasons. And Dez was the one who went up and said, this guy is the leader. He will not see it coming whatsoever. Let's get rid of him. She's proven to be in the majority. I was a little nervous for her because I thought that there were some splinters in the Navidi tribe based on Morgan's exit interview, but I'm going to give it to Dez. But I mean, Dez, Kellen, Bradley, there's plenty of
MVPs. Put somebody up from your tribe just for fun. See if anybody wants to actually vote for. So defend someone on your tribe, Alexa. Go for it.
Oh, I actually wrote. I'll give it to Laurel because I actually wrote Laurel MVP after she slayed it in the challenge. I'm gonna give. Yeah, I'll give it to Laurel too. So now we got four MVPs out there. I liked Laurel. She crushed the challenge. She is far exceeding a lot of people's expectations. She and Donathan seem to have a good thing going. I think Laurel's in a significantly better spot than anyone there because James is kind of getting all the credit for that move. Libby is yada yada, can't trust the cute blonde. I feel like they're not viewing Donathan like a threat, and even more so, they're not even looking at Laurel.
Yeah, and I will say that I think in terms of LVP, I don't think anybody had a particularly bad night.
Yeah, but I can't really think about an LVP.
I guess I'll give it to Michael strictly because he played the idol wrong and didn't give them mm-hmm. – and strictly – it's because he played the idol wrong, and it's because when he sat down, he said – we're voting for Bradley. And that killed his chances. It really did kill his chances. So even though it was a really well thought out plan, it didn't work for him and it made him burn an idol. So I'll give it to him just because of that.
I don't want to, but I feel like that's the right choice. He was the first person I wrote down, but then I kept crossing it out and writing him down and recrossing it out. I don't know. Actually, like okay. Just to change it up. I'm going to throw it at Vaughn too. I'm going to give it to Dominic because I think he's really overplaying his hand. I think telling Laurel that he has a real idol, and I think he told her that he has a legacy advantage too. Like, I think he's coming in too hot, and I think they already don't trust him because when he said, I have an idol, they were like, well, duh. Like, why would you show us this shell on a stick? And it's creating even a conversation with Chris, which probably wouldn't have happened with Chris's side, which probably wouldn't have even happened beforehand. So I'm going to throw it on Dominic, even though I guess it should go to Michael, but I really don't think anyone had like a big time loser episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I don't think anything was super bad, but let's jump over to comments. Let's do 15 minutes of comments so that Alexa doesn't fall asleep. love the group chat tonight. You guys are having a great time. Like, trolls, go away. Like, who cares?
Yeah, group chat's been blowing up.
They've just been blowing up with nonsense. Like, God, you guys are so angsty tonight. God, like, go
everyone,
away.
We're in a
Everybody's
good mood.
So upset Brendan went home. Everybody's losing their minds.
Yeah, and I know. No one can handle it.
Nobody can handle it. Anyway.
Let's go on Twitter.
All right, let's go on Twitter. I'm going to start with Survivor Patty because she's like the one who was the most upset about this. I think James made a mistake by voting Morgan over Angela. He's going to be seen as a threat and eventually cost him the game. Calling it now, he may have overplayed, not saying he's going home tonight, but this move somehow down the line, he goes home. First, I know this doesn't have anything – this wasn't from tonight's episode, but it was interesting. Why I wanted to read this one first is after last week's episode where Libby and James are the reason that Morgan went home and it was all their idea, like it was mainly James and Libby had a good say and James ended up winning the MVP, they got nothing tonight. James and Libby were like nowhere to be found. So it's kind of interesting that there was no aftermath credit. It was all aftermath. How is Dom going to scramble his way out of this?
Yeah, exactly. I know Dom's been coming in pretty hot. Connor Berry's got two funny ones back to back. All Chelsea has said all season is, quote, I'll sit out. I feel like this basically sums up the Chelsea storyline so far. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty bad for her. I don't know. But you know what? I mean, she did fine tonight. She did okay. And then Connor Berry followed up saying, I think that's a new Malolo for hashtags. Mm, hashtag it. Malololo. So yeah, Sebastian got a hashtag. I think he said Malolo low, and they didn't, they forgot to put an extra low in the hashtag. I was very disappointed by that.
I think they did, but we still give it to him. It was still right.
Oh, we still give it to him, but I don't know. Would have been funny if it was just like a screen full of Malololo.
Yeah. All right. So Jules says, what do you think about Chris being the only person who has been to tribal so far? I think it's a big part of the reason why he's still in the game. He's had a little bit of luck, but he dominated those. That first challenge tonight. He was good in the second one too. He was a big reason for he was a really big reason for the comeback.
Yeah. And I really want to know how many people called Chris making it to episode 4 after not having gone to a single tribal council. How many people called that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's why Joe Mann is looking good right now. Because nothing's happened.
Joe Mann is sitting brooding. Yeah. Andy Vogel. Hi, Andy. Holy hell, my boot list is utterly destroyed, but my squad all survives tonight. I don't know who your squad is, but your boot list is absolutely canned. I haven't even looked at your boot list, and it's probably a mess. Even people who we thought were spoiled got this one wrong. So right? No one is
safe. That's what feels good about this is like that boot list that I thought was spoiled and I might have read like too much of. Wrong.
You're not spoiled. Yay. Wrong.
Nonsense. You guys, yay. You guys tried to cheat and you lost anyway. Go home.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
Get out of here. Love it. All right, gamer girl. So has the curse of one of James' idols been reversed or not? I would say absolutely
down.
No. You know, so
the
he
next
played
idol,
it.
Oh, go ahead.
He played it, but he didn't play it right.
So like Ghost Island 2, which is going to be season like 59, that's going to be able to save 4 people, his new idol.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Jar Jar Minx. We kind of brought this up already, but Jar Jar Minx. Hi, we haven't seen you forever. So is he lying about immunity counting for 2 people, or can he use it again, or did he play it for himself and Stephanie? I also love that Jeff rolled with it because sometimes, well, I think it was was it Tony who was like, can you verify my idol? And Jeff was like, please leave. Like sometimes Jeff like has to kind of catch himself, but I loved it. But I was tricked too, Jar Jar Minx. I was tricked. I thought that maybe he did have power and they maybe didn't tell us. But if they didn't tell us at the beginning, it was fake.
It
so,
wasn't true.
I mean, he sold it very well.
And the thing is, with the Tony thing, he can't verify that it's a real idol before it's actually played because that's what Jeff does. This is a
but
real idol.
He did it for Ben. Did he do it for Ben?
No, he didn't.
No, didn't Ben hang it up and be like, this is a real idol?
No, he put it around his neck and said, this is a real idol. He didn't ask Jeff. He just said, this is a real idol. I'm putting
Jeff
it on my
interacted
neck.
With that. Well, I can't remember. He had too many.
No, Jeff never said that's a real idol. It never happened. Jeff played along with it as if it was a real idol because Ben was being so sure about it. Just like he played along with it tonight that this was worth 2. And until he hands that to Jeff and that's in Jeff's hand, he could that's still it. Say it's for 2 people. And that's why Jeff was sitting there like just waiting, not saying a
now
word.
Now I really wish that he stuck it with Brendan because I would have loved to see how Jeff was like, JK, this like Brendan actually is going home. I would really like to see that.
Oh, here's what it was. Here's what it was. Ben actually gave the idol to Jeff before the whole voting thing. And he said, I'm going to play this for myself. Is this a real idol? And he gave it to Jeff and said, I'm playing it. That's okay. What it was. So that makes more sense. Because he actually played it, Jeff could say, yes, this is real. No votes for Ben will count tonight. But
that was it.
Until it's actually played, he can't say it. And that's why he was just going along with the whole thing. I'm like, sure, it's two idols, whatever you want it to be. That's a great move. Right there, Jeff is probably like, oh my God, like, oh my God.
I don't think of the possibilities. Like, yes. Man, I would have loved to hear like what his statement was, like how he framed it. That would have been awesome.
Amazing. All right, so we have – I see this gamer girl. Did Nvidia intentionally tackle Chris after they won the immunity challenge? I'm pretty sure Dom was going for like – while they were in the pile, you know, like he was going for like the little like gut punches. Yeah, you know.
Let's medevac him.
Sam Shaffy, this is great.
Sam Shaffy, if this person, quote-unquote Chelsea, got a confessional, isn't it only fair that Will and the other Dream Teamers get one too? Also, what are your thoughts on Dom using Legacy Advantage as an in-game bargaining tool? I.e. giving it to Laurel in return for voting Chris out. I mean, I saw like a kind of funny meme. I hang out on Survivor Reddit way too much. That was like, look at this dream teamer, like getting the camera lighting ready for a confessional. And it was Chelsea.
Yeah.
But I saw that. I mean, you know, they posted a challenge preview. Like Will was very briefly in it for the reward challenge. It was just a bunch of people tackling each other, but some poking around.
It was really funny.
And actually getting thrown around.
It was really funny. Cause tonight, like before, you know, Survivor, at least out here, ET is on, and so showing like the original Survivor challenge, and Will was on ET tonight. Like you could see Will like participating in the challenge. He was on ET. Like good for Will, he finally made it.
Yeah, it was cool. It was really cool. Finally made it. But I just gave my thoughts on Dom using Legacy Advantage bargaining tool. I don't like it only because he's been doing so much to so many people where I feel like it's having the reverse effect.
And isn't that ended up biting Sari and Sarah in the butt?
Sierra?
No, Sari and Sarah. Like, couldn't Sari not use whatever Sarah gave her? Didn't Sarah give her the Legacy Advantage?
Yeah, but Sarah did that on purpose.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So, like, how is he going to use it? Somebody that comment said, can he give it to Laurel? I don't think he can.
Oh, true.
That's what I'm saying. It's already been done before.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't love the move. And I just feel like now everyone thinks he's sketchy when, like, I don't really think any of these, like, yes, very sketchy. I don't think all of these moves were necessary. And he also said, like, you're not supposed to show people an idol as he shows her an idol. Like,
yeah, exactly. So great. He's out of his mind. let's see here. We have Chris. Would it have been better and more believable if Michael in the original Malola said the idol was basically a super idol? Probably actually that might have been better if they said we can play this after the votes, because then they're terrified, but they still said we're voting for Bradley, which is just that killed the whole move.
And I feel like that almost makes them want to challenge it more, you know?
Yeah.
But actually at the same time, no, I'd actually be more nervous with this kind of idol to challenge it. So, but yeah, you make a good point. Like if they said they were going to vote Bradley, then that's,
nobody else
that's
has anything to lose by just voting the way they're
yeah,
voting.
It's like, fine, like, let him go. Mike Riley Birch. Michael's lie was great, but I don't think he gave Sebastian and Chelsea enough of a reason to flip. Why turn on your alliance at this point when you know you're safe? I press my luck that the idol would play wrong. I'm really glad that was brought up because I forgot to say that. Like, Michael didn't mention we're going to try to pull Seb and Chelsea until, like, they cut to them walking tribal council. So I think he meant to do it in a live setting. I think that would have been way better if they approached them early on. Cause I mean, if he approached them early on and said Bradley, that would have screwed them, but at least like you got to start planting the seed earlier because decisions are made before tribal council. Like you said earlier, like they don't change live very often.
Gotcha. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, how are they going to convince? They had to say, we're voting for one of you. If you flip with us, we're not, we'll vote for Brad, but you have to flip with us, you know? So it's, it's too much. It's so much there. We have Andy Vogel. Excellent play by Michael using his relics history to make up a convincing lie about its power. How would you hope to see another past relics power twisted either by production or real player later in the season, other than making the effing stick a real idol?
Ooh, good question.
I don't know.
I would like some of the legacy advantage.
the Legacy Advantage probably has the best, but I would also like to see like this Scott and Ty idol that like never worked out. I would like to see that used, but not actually be a super idol and just be a regular idol, but everybody thinks it's a super idol because it's the two pieces together.
Yeah, that could be good. I mean, that's kind of like similar to what happened tonight.
Just yeah, like exactly. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm going to have to think about that. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Joe Haas, the most poorly edited episode, in my opinion. No pre-challenge Malolo besides Kellen built up Navidi and got a boring boot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think the boot was boring whatsoever, but just the fact that I knew that someone from Malolo was going home was quite frustrating.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what the problem was. It was poorly edited because we knew that they were still going to lose. Gamer Girl, can we label Brendan as a tribe swap victim? I don't think so. I mean, he wasn't in great standing on his original Malolo tribe. He gets over to this tribe. Yeah, he was definitely down in the numbers, but they made a big move. They made the big play, but Brendan didn't go home strictly because of a swap. Brendan went home because the play didn't work and because they just saw him as too threatening and because he didn't make the ball land on top of the sticks.
Yeah, Brendan and Morgan are two people who went home and did absolutely nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but they didn't necessarily do everything right either. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like they still exactly. were threatening enough that that's why they went home. It wasn't like a Tyrone. Yeah. Tyrone went home because of the swap back in whatever that was. Him and Eve like went home because of that swap. There was really nothing they could do. Nicaragua.
Uh-huh. You want to go?
I'm going to read this Ronald McPizza one, and then you can do the Survivor Patty one. I'm going to do Ronald McPizza for a reason. What a bad week for Phil and Alexa. First, their winner pick gets voted out. Then Miami loses in the first round again. First of all, last year was bad. We probably are going to lose tomorrow. You didn't hear it here.
Haven't yet.
But anybody who really, really likes to listen to me talk and is a Miami's fan or just wants to hear what I think about that – Alexa, I'm plugging myself here. So my friend runs the website Kane's Insight, and he had me come on and do a podcast with him about
Miami. Cheated on me.
I did. I cheated on Alexa. Hey, you know, I cheated on Will first. So I went and I did that. And so anybody who's like a really big fan, I know you're either listening to this Thursday morning or late Wednesday night. So by the time that this is over, you're probably very going to see Miami lose to Loyola Chicago. But if you're a huge Miami fan, Boosh Bear, where are you at? Go and listen to this podcast. It's on Kane's Insight. It's just me and him talking about the bracket. We really only talk about the South region and what ACC teams are going to do. We say Florida State will lose. We say Florida will lose because we hate them. But that's really about it.
F Florida State.
But that's it. I wanted to plug that. And I really think I said 2 weeks ago that Miami would beat anybody in the first round except for Loyola Chicago. And somehow the bracket came out and we got Loyola Chicago. So
somehow we're playing Loyola Chicago. Yeah. All my friends, like, I mean, everyone's building their brackets right now. My friends are like, I have Miami going to the Elite Eight. How do you feel about that? And I have negative feelings about that because we are just incapable of making it past the Sweet 16. So anyone who's building their bracket, like, I'm a huge Miami homer, but don't do that. Like, just save some money. Brackets are very expensive. Please have us losing early.
I love how very expensive. They're like $10. All right. Survivor.
Well, Patty. I got like three different people. Like you text me and I was like, I'm poor. I'm not spending $25 or whatever.
I don't give Alexa her cut.
But anyways, I'm glad you brought that one up because one, we haven't lost yet. And two, Brendan is not my winner pick. It is my boy Wendell, who is hopefully listening and hopefully wins because I'm making such a stink about this and I never win anything in this, especially in this realm of Survivor. So really need a win right now.
Brendan, if Brendan's listening, it's like the Michael Corleone. And yeah, it's the Michael Corleone. You broke my heart. You broke my heart. I gotta reach out to Bradley and be like, you know, I was going to buy you a drink if I ever saw you in a bar again, but I can't do it now. I mean, I just can't.
Yeah, you took away the greatest person we ever
you took. You took away what I wanted. Go ahead. Where's the jawline? All right, continue.
I mean, like, needs more jawline. Chris Gaddy, I am really, really loving this season, but I worry about some of the more invisible characters. Do you think they really are that boring or do other people have a lot more to say? I mentioned this a little earlier. I think I'm going to go with the latter. The other people have a lot more to say. I understand that Angela and Chelsea are not as interesting or maybe do not give as many as like good of confessionals as like Chris or Stephanie or Dominic, but the thing is, like, they're surviving and they're somehow still in a decent position. I'm pretty frustrated by it because I think Angela was put in like a really screwed up position. And again, that's like kind of not her fault. Like, everyone is just super dismissive of her. And I would like to hear a little bit more about that. And I would certainly like to hear more from Chelsea. And the thing is, the people who are having these good edits, they're the ones going home. So maybe it's good for them. They're not getting a good edit.
Here's my thing with this. After tonight, the only invisible edit is – or invisible but, like, bad edit is still Chelsea.
Yeah.
Because Bradley had a huge episode tonight. He didn't go home, and this was a big episode. Angela's getting a lot more screen time. Desiree is still kind of there too. But aside from Desiree and Chelsea – I'm seeing a lot of everybody now. I mean, tonight was Bradley's breakout. This is the breakout for Bradley, and that's what happens sometimes on these seasons. And Angela was a huge part of last week, and she was a big part of tonight. I mean, Angela was all over the place tonight. So I'm totally fine with it. I think that in terms of invisible edits, we're just down to really two. It's just a bummer that in those first three episodes, we didn't see more of Bradley that built up to this, because I still thought he was going to go home somehow. I thought Michael was really going to play the idol for himself.
I thought he was going to go home too.
And I thought Michael was going to get the votes, and I thought they were going to call it. But the fact that he didn't, Bradley, like, this was a big buildup. It would have almost been nicer to see a little bit more Bradley early on, so it could be like, whoa, this really sucks. He's going to go or whatever. Or, wow, we're really happy because Bradley's going to go. But there's going to be a lot more of Bradley coming down the line now, and Angela's going to be a big part of it now until the end. So I would say really just Chelsea and Daz are the two we haven't seen much of.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll jump down to Survivor Patty because we kind of skipped it, but she said, wow, so Bradley really called Michael's bluff on saving two people. Good for him. I still want to know if he could really have saved two people. I think he lied because he didn't have two idols, only one of James' idols. What do you think? He couldn't have done two. They would have told us if it was two, and if it was two, he would have actually played it for two people. He only played it for Stephanie.
Yeah. I it would have been cool if they could play it for two, though. Like, again, that's something that I would have bought. I would have bought that easily. All right, there's just a bunch of MVP and LVP votes. Survivor CBS fans, do we predict another swap before the merge? I was hoping for it to happen next episode, but it's not going to happen. I
don't think so.
I hope not. Because if they merge, you think they might merge at like 13? There's three more votes
there. I think definitely 13 because Dominic has the legacy.
Oh, yeah, you got to have that at the merge. So there's only three more votes. And they seem to kind of be treating blows here. So I don't want another swap. I'm actually pretty happy with it.
Yeah. Also, I do want to jump to this Giovanni Rihanna. Who's the better survivor, Brendan? It's got to be the other Brendan, because the other Brendan made it to the merge, and he was the dragon. I mean, this Brendan didn't make it to be the dragon. So I think it's got to be Brendan Sinnott. Is that his last name? It's got to be him.
God, I'm so impressed that you knew his last name.
I love Brendan.
Oh yeah, you do. I know. Back to Guatemala days.
That's Brandon. Brendan is from
Brendan.
And if you watch Token Chief, it's the greatest second what do you call that? Ponderosa you'll ever see. It's Brendan and Tyson, and Tyson eats too many hot dogs, and Brendan takes him on a run, and it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
It's too many hot dogs.
It's so funny. Even when Tyson comes into the thing, he's like, dude, they got me too. It's the funniest thing ever. I love it. The two of them are so much fun for two people who are at each other's throats the whole game. So watch that if you haven't, if you can find it online.
Wow, I will totally have to watch that.
It's so worth it. Tyson eats too many hot dogs. He's just laying on the side of the road. It's the funniest thing.
Mixing up my Brendans and my Brandons.
You got to get them right.
Survivor CBS fans, can we bring back Alexa's hot takes and relate them to Funny Confessionals? I think there might be a little typo there. So, yeah, I kind of stopped doing that because I used to go to the fan forum, which now no longer exists, which kind of sucks. I kind of stopped doing them because I wasn't really into them. But if you guys think they're funny, if you want me to keep doing them, I got 3 hours to kill between finishing the episode and going live. So let me know what you think. I'm happy to get back into them if you guys want.
Yeah, and the five is going to be something that's like a super special occasion.
And maybe happens.
Lazy and exhausted all the time. but anyway. Where was I? Twitter. There you are. We have Survivor CBS fans. Do we think that Ghost Island was before the immunity challenge because the advantage possibly was related to tribal, like Jessica's advantage from HHH or something like that? I think it probably, I think all the advantages are related to the tribal in some way, but I do think that it was because she was playing the game and they wanted her to have to be like, do you want to not use your vote or do you want to use your vote? I think that's a great dilemma to put somebody in when it's 5-4.
Yeah, good point with that.
Or even 4-4.
Gamer Baby, do you think that Sebastian can flip to Omololo with his quote-unquote showmans and Jenna, then pull Chelsea to get numbers next week? The thing is, he already has the numbers, but if they want to do that, I feel like at that point it kind of becomes like a Terry Dietz, like, come to my side, it's the exact same thing kind of pitch. But, I mean, for the Mololos, they would need that.
Yeah, and It's funny. I'm pretty sure Sebastian and Jenna are dating in real life. I think that's
I wasn't sure if we should bring that up, but like they're 1,000% dating. There's an Instagram account of, I wanted to send this to you, Phil. There's an Instagram account that I believe is run by the two of them, and it's just pictures of the two of them. So they are like very, I got to send it to you. It's awesome. Very public and like extremely in love. So
it starts next week.
It's actually a real life showmance.
Yeah, here we go. It starts next week.
And it works because this was like a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Look at that. Sebastian's pretty chill, you know, and Jenna's got that like RBF going on real hard. So it's like, look at us go.
What a beautiful juxtaposition.
Yeah, it's great. You need the opposites attracting there. Jenna didn't get much tonight. I wish we would have seen what Jenna was thinking, because when she was breaking down crying when they pulled out the idol, that was pretty great. But anyway, just wanted to see.
I know. I'm waiting to get something from Jenna because I want to. I want to get something from her. They're just really not giving us anything.
Yeah. Let's see. We got JP. What past idol do you guys think is coming?
JP.
Yeah, JP. No,
oh my God.
It can't be him. What past idol do you think is coming in the game next? I think it's probably going to be the Taiwan, I think. I think that that's like another one that's like kind of memorable. Or it's going to be the stick. Hopefully it's the stick.
I just
said this to me now. I'm giving a great point.
I was listening, but I had to DM it to you on Instagram. Everyone... Yeah, oh I mean, God, we probably shouldn't hilarious. Be blowing up. It's really, you got to dive into it. It is really something.
I mean, it's literally called Tarzan and Jen.
Yeah. Instead of Tarzan and Jane. Get what they're doing there.
Oh, no, I get it.
See what I'm doing there. I mean, the effing stick, yeah, that's like, that's going to be like, that's kind of the big one that everyone's waiting for. What else is it? There's like the Thai Idol. There's the Dan Foley extra vote. But I think that the effing stick is the one that everyone's like really.
And it feels like the extra vote won't come into play until later.
Yeah, because that usually happens around the merge.
This is adorable.
They're very attractive.
They're starting to get more likes too. They're building up heat because I went all the way back to where they were only getting like 4 likes. Now they're up to 68. Oh yeah,
I went through this like really disturbing rabbit hole where I looked at like every single picture because I was bored. And they're really starting to get a lot more traction. Whatever they're doing, is really working.
I give it a follow. Gotta hit the follow. That'll bring them our way one day.
Gotta support. Yeah, exactly. We should just start commenting. We should make an Instagram account and just start commenting like, hi, please come on together.
Yeah, right. Hello.
Hello. Which one did you just do?
I think that's
kind of good. Yeah, I think that's kind of it. Cool.
So we did comments, guys. We read
comments, everyone. We're sorry we didn't go to YouTube, but now it's 1:12 a.m. and I am very tired. So yeah, for comments, like try to tweet at us. We're still going to repost the old video, so that we can still read them at Twitter or like posting on Facebook, probably your best bet. So yeah, that was a good, like 15 minutes comments.
There you go.
Phil, you got anything else? You want me to wrap it up?
Let's just do an ode to Brendan and the birth of Bradley. You know, it's like,
wow, That's really beautiful.
A lot of bees going on there. That's it.
And then the Sebastian haiku will be incoming.
Assuming Bradley, like the entire time he was communicating with us pre-game was like, hey, wait until Phil sees what I do. Like, hey, thanks, hey, Bradley. Hey. Thanks a lot, man. Guys,
we're talking about you now, Bradley, because we actually got to see you this time.
And it was worth it. Well done. Well done.
Yeah, I know. It's worth the wait. Worth the wait. So anyways, I'm going to wrap it up. So we will be live on Sunday with a special guest for our predictions podcast.
And remember, that'll be on Sunday.
Heard it here first. We are not going to tell you who it is until the day of, so we can keep a little intrigue. But in the meantime, we'll repost this video a couple times. Please comment on this video or tweet at us or Facebook or whatever. Who you think the MVP is and who you think the LVP is. We threw a bunch of people at you, so we're probably going to get like a vote. I mean, Chelsea could win MVP because she existed. Like, literally could be anybody. Give us your votes. We'll tally those up this weekend, and then I'll post an MVP spotlight of them Sunday night or Monday morning. We'll also post the updated standings for the Bootlist and Prop It. Try to get that out on Saturday, early weekend, so you guys can check it out. But yeah, in the meantime, give us a subscribe on YouTube. We're at like 3175 now, so we're still climbing up. Give us follow on Twitter at Survivor Specialist, like on Facebook, Survivor Specialist, and make sure to give us 5 stars on iTunes. And always tell your friends and tell your moms, because moms love us.
moms love us. And I was just thinking as I'm reading like the live chat here, my mom knows who's coming on Sunday, and she's probably going to be like texting me, like, you guys are so clever.
And we're being so not discreet because we're like, it's like when you're typing and you're doing it in all caps.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah. But anyway,
like, it's going to be great when it's like, it's going to be great when it's like, he's coming on Wendell. He's coming on Wendell.
Wendell is breaking his non-disclosure agreement to come on. Just kidding. That's not true. No one say anything. That's not true. Wendell on Wednesday.
Now you're going to get Wendell in trouble. Way to go.
Yeah. Oh God. This is, everything is a mess. Okay. Bye.